Time to show the world that top is what I strive for. Greatness is a journey I'm willing to strive for. Consistency is key and I don't take no time off. Against the odds, I put it all on the line for. A lesson learned for every flaw I'm gonna make. Consequence I undertake, putting all my trust in fate. Failure won't become my fate. 10 toes down, I never fold. Give it all to reach my goal. As my name is stone, when my story's told. Say I did it for the...
So, it's a live show. Do it every week. We did an episode today. But basically every Wednesday from noon to 1:30 in my time zone, we try to build a miniature startup. And usually, like, for a while, the stack that we used was essentially, we have an idea, pop it on a landing page, assemble some semblance of an info product, pop it behind the Gumroad wall, slap it on the landing page, and then futz further and do a little bit of marketing. But usually it's just try to start a tiny startup in an hour and a half on a live show to teach people how entrepreneurship works on a really small scale. It's, you have a problem, you solve it with a product slash service, and you attempt to launch it in the markets. So, yeah, I don't know. The goal is to education, though, mainly.
And So the key question then is, of course, how did you learn the stuff? Did you build anything big, successful, whatever in the past? Or is it more like you are learning together with your audience?
Totally. It's definitely more of the I'm learning to go together with my audience. I have built some successful companies. Some of the stuff we're doing right now was successful. Some of the stuff that we did on the show was successful. I built a successful little lifestyle business with a partner of mine in town called Moss Generation, which was an event group, a private event group for entrepreneurs and actual startups in that kind of growth tech phase that would eventually become investable. We stayed in that kind of investable area for a while. And on the side, I was kind of like making content on the internet, having fun with it. And then COVID hit. And by then I was already doing the live stream and kind of messing around with that. And things started to scale with the live stream. And we've gotten to a point where I can almost do the live stream just full time. But yeah, I also run a small agency, a couple other things, but I've not been massively successful with anything at all. It's very much learned with me. So
yeah, awesome. How big is your live stream?
The audience is, we have like 1,000 followers on Instagram. We have like, I think we are like close to 10,000 on LinkedIn. So probably around like 10, maybe 11,000 overall, plus some Twitter followers, but still pretty small.
Yeah, then even better that it's almost sustainable for you. And so what's the business model for your live streams? Because is it just donations or do you sell something on top of it?
Totally. Yeah. Great question. I have recently discovered that it is semi-sustainable via two avenues. And initially, like I was thinking sponsorships, right? You make nice enough content, you can get sponsorships. And I do mine on a monthly kind of level. So I promote actively these some like no code tools, right? So I promote V1, I promote Universe is another really cool tool that I love. And if you've seen anything that Ben Tossel does, you've probably seen something around Universe. So those are two great tools. And then Restream is the tool that I use to live stream. And overall, those guys collectively pay me like $500 a month, which is like a solid dang start. So hopefully I'm going to scale up the sponsorship, get more no-code tools on board. I'm going to email on Monday. I'm going to email super.so. They're the little tool for Notion. I love them. They recently updated like crazy, and now they have a bunch more integrations. Very excited about it. So I'm just going to try to get as many kind of no-code or cool tools to sponsor my show. That would be great. But the other one is paid speaking. Universities apparently need workshops done. And I've done a few here and there. And it's looking like if I target the right universities, they will pay me a bit more because of the stuff that I'm teaching on my show is valuable. And if I can break it down for students in a personalized kind of setting, it's even more useful for them. And they're willing to write a check for that. And this is awesome because I love teaching students and I think it's a lot of fun. So yeah, paid speaking and sponsorships seem to be the way, but I am absolutely still figuring it the heck out. So we'll see.
Yeah, sounds solid. And maybe a way to phrase it is that you're on the path to becoming an independent professor, so which is something I really like that more and more people are doing. So not trying to become a professor or a professional teacher when they have a passion for teaching, but just skipping the gatekeepers and doing it themselves, right? So this is really cool. And you also mentioned an agency. What's the story there?
Yeah, so I think it was like 2 months ago. Yeah, it feels like it was 2 months ago on the show. We literally had an idea. I had an idea for an agency that I wanted to start with my friend. I had been kind of tossing it out on social media a couple of times because this is the first project that we've done that like kind of involves a team, even though I was already working with somebody to do editing for my live stream. They're a good friend of mine, a mentee of mine. They edit my live streams. They enjoy it. And they wanted to get into more editing work like that. I'm like, okay, well, if I can find more editing work from that, like for you, then that's essentially kind of a small agency because I'm the sales guy and you're the editing guy, the technical guy. Very kind of small example. I poked around on social media. Hey, we want to start editing live streams and podcasts, right? We'll break down larger content. So like 90 minutes of live stream content. We'll clip that down into 10 awesome little clips that you can post all over social media to advertise your live stream or podcast, right? Make micro content out of macro content. It's been done before. I do it for my own live stream. That's why I found my editor. But having an agency that specifically does that is probably like slightly more unique. Still not unique at all. But regardless, I have enough live streamer friends that some people in the space were like, hey, that's really cool. I like what you're doing. Help me out. I'll scratch your back. You scratch mine. Did a couple of free little bits of work and found like 3 or 4 clients. And we've been plugging along since then. It's super, super nice. So yeah, just I pay Joe, my employee-ish guy through Venmo, and we have a Trello board, and that's just about it. So it's a very nonchalant agency.
And do you even have a name, or is it?
Yeah, the name is Unnamed Agency because we didn't want to name the agency on the show. But we built the page, we built the concept, and we built the little workflow on the live stream because we were ready. So.
Okay, and how do you find customer? Is it currently just your friends, or do you do any outreach marketing?
Great question. I actually found our first 3 clients, which are our main clients. We found all 3 of them through 1 Facebook post because one person who produces live streams on LinkedIn, which is where I make a lot of my content, obviously, because that's where my followers are. They produce content on LinkedIn. One of my close friends on LinkedIn, who's another content creator like me, recommended me on this Facebook post where somebody was complaining, I wish I could get clips made of my larger live streams. And 3 other live streamers were on that little thing, just complaining about the same thing. I reached out to, I think, 4 people from that thing, and 3 of them became steady clients. And now that we're doing work with them, which is wild. So from a Facebook post, but before that, we were doing random messaging. Nothing really worked, but now we're just sticking with referrals from solid clients. So we got lucky, yeah. I guess.
Awesome. Sounds really cool. You mentioned these workshops and teaching stuff that you do. And I'm really curious because we don't have that. At least I'm aware in Germany that universities pay people for talks. So in Germany, you get invited, but you don't get paid. You maybe get like the hotel paid or something like that. So, but it's really a business and in the US, paid speaking at universities.
Yeah. So everybody that I've ever talked to has been like, no, that's a stupid idea. Because it kind of is. Like, they're nonprofits, right? Most of the time, universities are nonprofits. So you're not going to, and they're not like generous nonprofits either. Like, they just function in a way that they don't pay speakers. It's very, very rare that they will ever pay a speaker because it's an honor to come speak at a university.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So there's more of a benefit there. However, I have, through my experimentation, I was initially just doing it because first of all, I love speaking at universities. I wanted to get in touch with students, but then like, it looks awesome on my speaker resume to say I've spoken at like 35 universities, right? So that was initially why I was doing it. But then I started to speak at incubators, at little student incubators. I started to speak for entrepreneurship centers. I started to speak for like more internal organizations within universities. And occasionally, rarely, but occasionally they'd be like, so how much do we owe you? And I'd be like, oh. And I would say this much, right? Or something. It wouldn't be like that. They would add, like, before we were setting up the dates, it'd be like, okay, we can only really pay like 200 or something like that, or 100 or something like that. But I was like, hey, you're offering to pay. That's fascinating. So some of it kind of started to happen a little bit. And I realized the groups that were paying me were within like organizations within universities that had their own individual budget, not just the uni itself, right? And not just like the business school, but something a little bit more granular than that, centers or incubators or accelerators. And then I started talking to private schools and they were like, way more willing to like doing well private schools, and they were a lot more willing to actually shell out some money because it's more of a thing for them, and they pay for a lot more stuff just typically. So I've gotten some pretty impressive offers from a private school, like the first like well-to-do private school that I've been working with, and that seems to hopefully be a path, but we'll see. It is one or two. There have been like three or four schools that have offered to pay a little bit. Don't know if that's like fully sustainable. And one school that's offered to pay a lot, and we'll hopefully find more of the schools that are willing to pay a lot. So I think it individually worked for me. On a general level, probably not, but you need to find like really specific organizations within universities that are willing to write those checks, because otherwise it makes sense why everybody was trying to push me away from it.
Yeah. So of course now I have to ask what you mean by like a big check. And because you mentioned like $200, and I guess traveling to a university just to give a talk for $200 is not sustainable, right? So, yeah. But I also have no idea how much you can earn by being a paid speaker.
Totally, yeah. So universities are definitely not going to like pay you like top dollar, but for me it was a lot, because what I was typically getting paid. The reason that I was able to do this is because everything is virtual right now, where I can't go anywhere. I'm in America. I'm not allowed to travel anywhere anyway, understandably. So everything was virtual. So it became a lot more sustainable to do all of this stuff online, right? For these little checks and things like that. And 100, 200, maybe like 300 here and there, like that was the typical kind of check size that I would get. Now it's like that, if I'm doing it virtually, and a lot of them, honestly, might be sustainable, right? As long as it's online, there's no travel there. Yeah, sure. It's not too bad. And then this one private school over on the West Coast in America offered to pay me $1,500 for a 2-day workshop. That is not a ton. I work, like I still have a freelance client, like my last freelance client that I'm still kind of working with before I'm full-time, but we're like really close and we do a lot of work together, and it's not like a bad deal. He's a great guy, but he's a professional speaker and that's all he does. And he like has a high cost of living, and he's gotten paid $7,000 before for like a 1-hour presentation in a place that he had to travel to. And he's not even close to top dollar. Like the paid speaking kind of realm goes like really, really freaking far in education. What I found with this private university, honestly, probably the best that I expect to ever find within the university ecosystem. Right. To me, that sounds like a lot. Cause like, given what I've been like paid before, like, holy crap, that is a lot. That's like my entire month of like, of costs. But yeah, so it totally depends on the space you're in, but I hopefully I didn't get lucky, and hopefully I can find a few more of those, because then I'm probably okay.
Yeah, sounds cool. If it's really just a Zoom talk, right? So then yeah, exactly. $200 are not too bad, especially if I suppose you can give the same presentation like over and over again.
I do. Yeah.
You don't have to prepare new stuff all the time. So one thing you mentioned and I'm super curious about is why you're so focused on LinkedIn. Because I know nothing about LinkedIn. I'm not on LinkedIn. And my impression was always is that it's for people who either have a job or want a job, right? Mm-hmm. So, but your content seems to be for people who want to do the entrepreneur game. And so my personal gut feeling would be that maybe Twitter would be a better place where these kind of people hang out. But how did you end up with LinkedIn?
Totally. Great question. Yeah. So the reason that I got into LinkedIn initially, it's like 2 years ago. No, is it longer? It was like 3 years ago that I kind of got into LinkedIn. And basically the only reason that I got in was because I was looking for opportunities. I wanted to become a content creator in some way. I liked the idea of creating content in social media. I liked the idea of becoming popular and having a small audience that you can test things with on social media. It was really appealing. But like I made some stuff on Instagram. I made some stuff here and there and like whatever. But LinkedIn at the time, and still now, is remarkably organic in the sense that there aren't, it's just a social media platform with a lot of users, but not a lot of creators, right? So it's like when Instagram just started to get popular, right? On a different scale, Instagram is for literally everything, but LinkedIn is more of just for professional stuff. My content happened to fit kind of in the professional realm. And I started initially creating videos just around like professional things that I learned. I would interview somebody, learn a little bit about business in general, and then write it up into a little post, right? And because there were so few people, especially back then, creating on the platform, my posts got a ton of views, right? Thousands and thousands and thousands of views. And it was awesome. And I was very, very excited about it. And that kind of fueled me to continue going, right? And so I had traction on LinkedIn before I had traction anywhere else, because I was able to find an audience a lot quicker there, because the organic reach was so much higher, because so few people were creating. But yeah, it's essentially just like Facebook now, like in terms of just it's shown to people kind of randomly. It's mostly shown to your circle of people that follow you, and new people find you typically through kind of like the explore function, right? It's kind of like the Instagram or Facebook just for professional stuff. And it's gotten pretty fluffy. I'm not super happy with LinkedIn. I honestly, exactly what you said, I would love to make a pivot to something like Twitter. Hopefully I can make some transfer in of an audience. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But yeah, would love to. Social media is so, I hate it, but I love it. It's weird.
Yeah. Social media platform I ever were able to get into is really Twitter. So I don't understand all the rest. But yeah.
I definitely need to figure out Twitter. I understand, like, on the basics of Instagram. I understand LinkedIn, of course, because I've spent a lot of time there. Twitter is the one that I definitely don't understand. Like, just watching Twitter, it's such a microcosm of, like, it's such a niche. It's not niche, but, like, everybody has their own niche, and everybody behaves a certain way on Twitter that I haven't fully, like, figured out how to emulate yet. It's very interesting. It's an interesting place.
So what I would like to talk about is the project, of course, you're building in your live streams. And when I have a look at your list, then it seems to me that it's primarily, that your primary focus is on the technology. So yes. It's less on a specific, really business you can build, but it's more like if you would love to build an agency in general, right? Not how to launch, I don't know, a photography agency and this is how we're going to do it, but it's more about the infrastructure. Is that correct?
Yeah. So before I focused a lot, I want to go back to it because I think I've kind of strayed away from it. I focused for a little while on kind of the marketing aspect. So, hey, here's a product. Here's how we get it out into the world, right? And we're kind of good at the marketing aspect. But lately, I feel like in the past few months, month and a half, we've kind of just focused on building cool stuff and just having fun with that. Because the thing that I saw for at least university students that wanted to get into entrepreneurship, the thing that frustrated me the most and was really, like, especially kind of detrimental to me, like the reason that I couldn't really start something is because I didn't think I could start something, right? I didn't think I could make a product. I thought that was the most difficult thing in the world. That's not. The marketing is the most difficult thing in the world, and finding users is the most difficult thing in the world. But the process of building is really fun. And I think that's the first barrier that everybody hits. And it's not they immediately hit the marketing barrier after they like build the actual product. But I think the first issue that everybody hits, especially when you're a university student, especially when you're just getting into entrepreneurship, is I don't know how to build a product. I need to find a technical co-founder or something to that degree, right? So I'm trying to solve that problem first. And then probably I'm going to start to move into the marketing space a bit more. Because I started kind of, when we started projects a few months back and started really getting into projects, I was kind of more on the marketing side, I feel like. Then I went into product, and now I feel like I'm going to move back to marketing a little bit because I'm building too much stuff and I'm not marketing it. So yeah, it's still very amorphous, but yeah, focusing on the tech right now for sure. It's a good observation.
Yeah, interesting. Because so I totally agree that coding is not the bottleneck and it's not really what's stopping people. In my opinion, it's not just marketing. It's also like product ideation, deciding what to work on and then getting the word out. So the step in between where you build the first version that you can present to users is often trivial or much less time consuming that people would assume. So yeah, it's great that you're getting the word out in this sense. So don't worry about this step. It's so easy. Have a look here. Exactly. We do it in just 1 hour. I'm curious what kind of feedback you're getting, because your advertising is that you're building startups every week, right? And yeah, maybe it's a bit misleading, right? Because a startup is more than just a landing page or a form where you can sign up for a course or whatever, right? This is just the infrastructure, and a lot more goes into building a startup, like, of course, marketing, but also the step before product ideation, deciding what to work on. And I would love to hear your thoughts on that. And if you get any feedback from people who say, hey, you're not building really startups or...
Totally. Yeah, no. To be totally honest, you're right. Like, for the most part, a lot of the stuff that we build is more product focused. And the problem is, like, some of the early projects that we've built, like the agency, We built the landing page, and then I discussed how I was going to go about marketing this, and we went through and attempted it, and it became a real business, right? Like, everything that we needed was honestly there, and we did build it on the show, right? And that did become a business, right? We discussed that entire process, and everything that we couldn't do on stream, we at least like outlined, right? And then I went and kind of did it. So that did become a real business. One of the first like rapid projects that we did is we built a little landing page for a virtual co-working space. We posted up online, and I gathered users. And within the first week, we had around 30 individuals that were interested, popped their emails down, and were ready to get on this online kind of co-working space. And like, we did the entire kind of marketing process and everything for it to get it actually started on stream. Lately, we've definitely been just like, here's a cool idea, let's build a thing. Here's a cool idea, let's build a thing, right? So most of the stuff that we've been doing lately, just because it ends up being a little bit more fun, has been that building process. And also because I haven't had like an idea that I'm super obsessed with lately. But also the main kind of barrier that I've been running into is I want to make these all businesses, but I have this weird instinct to build something new to keep it kind of entertaining every week. And that hour and a half is enough to build the product. And then I kind of have to shift focus immediately, right? So I'm being too rapid in that kind of sense. Luckily, I feel guilty for the exact same reason that you're calling me out right now. So I have on my schedule for the next like 2 months to just catch up with old projects that we've built, do the marketing, actually set them up, try to offer them to real customers and see if we can get paid for these things. Because I'm trying to be too quick, and a week is not enough time to make everything happen, at least not with my schedule right now, because I still have freelance clients. If I was totally free and was putting a lot more effort into it, I bet I could do one per week, or at least like test it in the market one per week. But yeah, so I think I'm trying to be too rapid. We do intend to build real businesses. We have done it before. Lately, though, we definitely are building just the tech. But no, I've never received flack for it. People enjoy the concept, and they know that there's a lot that kind of goes on in the background, and that we can't kind of do all of it on stream. The stream is just a place to test ideas, brainstorm, build a thing that we can then offer to people, and hopefully ideate. If it's popular enough, we bring it back on a stream later and build it from there. But I mean, I've received almost exclusively positive feedback on the thing, which is, I'm glad that you're saying this right now, because I want more negative feedback so I can improve the show. So yeah, it's good that you said that. And it's good that for me, because I'm planning on catching up and actually building these things into real scalable things lately.
Yeah, the reason why I had to ask, do you know Peter Levels? He did this 12 startups in 12 months kind of thing. And it was covered in lots of big magazines, and people got a bit mad at him. So you're not really building startups, right? Mm-hmm. So because he was also just putting out little projects, but to his credit, most of them actually made money. So they were like small businesses, but it's about semantics, of course, because a startup is something very different than a small business, right? It's about this exponential growth, the candlestick. But Peter also said this, that, yeah, it's a marketing trick and it works. So who cares? Who cares how you call it? And people don't get excited about, I will build a small business. But if you say, I build a startup, people get excited.
It's 100% true. The things that I'm building on the show are lifestyle businesses, or they intend to be small lifestyle businesses, right? That is the terminology for it. They are not intending to be venture investable. Absolutely the heck not, right? Nothing that I'm building on the show is ever going to be investable or some scalable, insane product. Mostly building them with no code tools, simple apps, simple websites, or simple info products that I can sell on the internet or in person if they do end up being physical, and they make me a lifestyle amount of money, right? Theoretically, if they were to become successful. None of them are actual startups, right? But people have started using that terminology of startups so loosely in terms of like everything. I know people that like people have called me a startup. People have called entrepreneur a startup. And I'm like, no, that is not what it is. It is a content channel, for God's sake. Like So people get really weird with it. It's a little bit funky. But because people use the terms to like startup so loosely, and that is the hype term, exactly what you said, in the entrepreneurship community, in the business building community and all of that, that's kind of what I had to use for anybody to kind of get interested in what I was doing. So it sucks. It's annoying. I'm building lifestyle businesses, but people only really understand startup. So
yeah, it makes perfect sense.
You're right.
So if we go through your back catalog of all the stuff you built since you started, what is one or two ideas where you think they have serious potential, where if you would invest a bit more time and maybe do a multi-part series where you dedicate, let's say, 4 weeks or whatever exclusively to this project, they could become really successful, making, I don't know, 1K, 2K each month. So funding your lifestyle.
Totally. Yeah. The agency is like getting up there. I think our revenue right now, and most of the revenue goes to my editor, but the revenue is upwards of like 2K per month, like really quickly, which is impressive. So I'm really happy about that. That's going fine. Yay. In terms of like nice monthly revenue, some of the things that I'm really excited about are, what is it? There's Superstack. Superstack is like Substack, the newsletter tool, if you've heard of it. So Substack recently released custom URLs for their landing pages, right? And they build you this simple little landing page. But I've seen a few like high level Substack creators make their own custom landing pages, right? Just to convert a little bit better, just to showcase a tweet of somebody really liking their thing, a little bit of testimonials to encourage signups. Building those little landing pages is not hard. I build them on card. It takes like 5 minutes, right? It's very, very simple. And so my idea was to offer a service to Substack creators where I go, I build you a landing page that converts a bit more than the super simple landing page that Substack gives you. And great, you are off to the races, right? I give you, you get a custom domain, you get a little bit more analytics, you can do Facebook Pixel, Google Pixel, all these different things. And yay, that is essentially the service. And I would charge like $20 a month, and it would cost me like $5 a month. So if I did a few of these over time, eventually it would lead up to some bit. And that is like the sales process has been like, it's easy to find these people, just takes a bit of time. Because I just go on Substack and I find popular creators in all these different niches. And I say, hey, do you have a landing page? If they don't, right? Can I help? So that's one. I thought that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that's a really cool idea. And I wasn't aware, to be honest, that you could do this with Substack. So is it still a bit hacky or is it really like native? So do you need to use some workarounds in order to create a custom landing page or is it really native?
No, it's not native at all. Yeah, it's definitely a workaround. Like for card, I would just build a little landing page. Like the only thing that is Substack gives you their own landing page. And all it is in the center, a little tagline, your picture and an email signup box, right? Just in the center, nothing else. That's fine. They've seen that on average convert the best. But in terms of showcasing testimonials and other things like that, all I would do to change that is I go and I grab the embed code because Substack will give you an embed code that you can paste elsewhere. I grab a small bit of the embed code just to create the little signup box, and then I can customize everything else. So it's just taking a little bit of the embed code, writing your own text, and then creating a button that just goes to the archive, and then maybe embedding a tweet or whatever else you want to do on that landing page. But it's just a couple of embeds that make the kind of transfer seamless, just via a little card website or something else. So yeah, it's super extra simple.
But it's really a great idea, and I think it has serious potential because this standard Substack landing page is getting a bit boring, right?
I agree, it
was cool in the beginning because it was so minimalistic, but now like everyone has the same landing page and it's boring and it's harder to stand out. So I think, yeah, you could make money this way. And if you actually want to do something in this direction, I have this project called Newsletter Spy, which is a database of all Substack publications. And I started to also collect like email addresses and Twitter profiles.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy. Okay.
Yeah, I can get into
it. Yeah, that's awesome. Because yeah, that like, did you just like pop a web scraper onto Substack? Like, how'd you get that happening? That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I collected the data, of course, directly from their site. And when I started just a month ago, I was even able to get all the subscriber numbers. So I have like a database, including subscriber numbers, but unfortunately they changed now their code probably because of me, because it became it became successful. Lots of people started talking about it and ultimately they turned off the endpoint I was using to grab the subscriber numbers, but that's everything fun. Else is still working. And in addition, of course, I have still the snapshot. So, and if you're just interested in doing like an outreach campaign, a snapshot is okay, right? You don't care if it's 80,000 or 70,000 subscribers. You just want to know, is it big or isn't it big, right?
So that's super cool. Yeah, I would love to like know any way that I can ping you later on that, whatever works, but that would be perfect for me to help me scale Superstack. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'll send it to you, no problem. Because I, in fact, discontinue it or put it on a pause currently because I'm no longer able to get the subscriber numbers. Yeah. And this is what most people would be interested in. But for like, just if you're interested in leads, then it still works beautifully. So happy to send it your way. And awesome. Yeah, so really, really cool that you have like an idea that
inline. That links right into that. That's super fucking cool. So that's one. I also built my first like online course that I'm really proud of. I'm really into online courses lately, just really, really tiny ones. I built a little online course and I literally have done like 35, 36, 37 online speaking gigs at universities. And I got them all without any prior speaking experience. I am 23. I just like teach stuff online. It is an obscure, like extremely weird niche, but I've gotten tons of speaking gigs and it looks awesome on my speaker resume, right? And the process for getting all of those speaking gigs was literally just a few LinkedIn automations and like customizing my LinkedIn profile in the right way. Very, very simple stuff. And so I made an online course. It's like 50 minutes on how to set up that entire funnel and do exactly what I did. And I want to sell that to people that want to get into university speaking, which I think is a decent product because I think it's a really genuinely valuable kind of process that I can teach. So that's another little thing that I'm interested in building. That'll be fun. What else? What else? What else? What else? There was the one that I'm probably most excited about. I don't know if it's going to make me a ton of cash, but the one that I'm probably most excited about is, I call it like the Biz Behind series. It's just a series of very simple little online courses that teach SEO, how to build websites, how to like build an audience on social media on a really small level, how to run ads if you want to like auto just like push a ton of traffic towards your site or your social media accounts, how to reach out to different organizations and write a solid email, how to like find emails and isolate individuals that you might want to contact, right? How to like do customer interviews to kind of learn a little more, like the really, really basics of business. And then like finding partnerships, finding mentors, building a network, selling your product and actually getting it out into the world. All those basics. I do them mostly on the show. It's just like build a website with Card, sell your product with Gumroad, use hunter.io to find emails. And here's how you write a solid email. I'll give you a couple of templates, right? And then like the basics of things like SEO and whatever else, but just the little business basics to get artists in like visual art, in audio art. So music usually. And what was the other one? Visual, audio. And
text writing.
Text, yes. This is what the fuck. Yeah, it's that writing. So writers. So all like the basics of artists. And then you could go into something like voice acting. You could go into like deeper niches because it's going to be slightly different for every kind of art niche. But just to help high school kids and college kids that are doing art that might want to do it as like a part-time or full-time thing in the future, teach them how to get started now, right? Because it takes a few years of you consistently creating on the internet before you can get anywhere with art. But it is a viable kind of thing, right? My thing, I consider live streaming like content, right? I consider it somewhat of an art form. Like I'm not like an artist, but I, you know, it's the same kind of stuff, but the process is the same for essentially everybody. And I know all these really, really basic little business tips because I've done it for my own live stream and I'm almost full time. Like I feel like teaching all this little stuff and making it super accessible, like a $5, $2, $3 online course that teaches all of the basics for like high school and college kids would be a really, really valuable thing. Cause I haven't seen anything that's that accessible on the internet. Don't know if that's a need. I've just talked to a bunch of artists and they have no idea what they're doing on the high school and college level. And hopefully this maybe solves their problem. But I just think like, if I could build a tiny community of like artist kids, just like building cool stuff and I had to help them build that cool stuff. Like that's the dream. I don't know. That's not going to make me a ton of money because I need to keep it super accessible. But like, God, that would be a fun community to have. So that's something that I'm probably going to prioritize. Yeah.
Sounds like a great idea. Definitely. And especially the cool thing about courses and the productized service idea you mentioned is that they are so low risk. You don't need much to get started. And like, you can just record the course. I don't know, maybe a day, maybe a week. It doesn't matter. So exactly.
It's out there.
And you can test it. And if no one buys it, then okay. Yeah, didn't lose much. Yeah, you can still repurpose the videos in for other stuff, right?
Exactly. So, exactly.
Yeah, I have to go in like 5 minutes because I have another call. But thank you so much for taking the time. I really enjoyed hearing about your business because it's quite unique in what you're doing. At least I haven't seen anything like it before. And I think if you're able to prioritize Twitter, you can grow really big, I think, because I think the angle you're taking is awesome, right? This building tiny businesses in a live stream could get lots of people excited. So just get in front of more people and I'm sure that you will grow And I'm really looking forward to following your journey. And I will certainly watch one of your live streams in the future.
Awesome. I would love to see you on there. Yeah. If you end up being on a live stream, hit me up, drop a comment, whatever. Yeah. And I appreciate the support. Thank you so much. I would love to, like, it seems like Twitter is really viral. You get one awesome tweet or a couple of awesome tweets and just shit explodes. So we'll see if I get there. I am going to try to prioritize Twitter a little bit. Definitely going to take some time, but I appreciate the heck out of the support. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I think just one more idea now that you mentioned Twitter, and because the key trick on Twitter is, of course, like on any other platform, that you need the big guys retweeting your stuff, liking your stuff, right? Because then it gets put in front of their audience, and this is how you grow your audience. Otherwise, you're just tweeting into the void. And so have you experimented with like getting people onto your live stream? I'm thinking in terms of doing a collab and then building a startup with Ben Tossel, whatever. I think this could be a huge success. On the one hand, because it's super interesting, of course, how he would approach a certain problem, but also because he, of course, would do marketing for your thing, right? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I think it's worth experimenting with.
For sure, yeah. I've done a couple little bits there. It's just the problem is that the space is so niche. Like indie hackers is such a niche kind of little area. But yeah, no, for sure. I definitely want to get more. My audience has been mainly successful with students. And so if I can find like student influencers, that would be the huge point. I guess I'm like defining my own problem there. Like that's what I would try to do. So no, yeah, you're totally right. I think that would work really well on Twitter. Gotta experiment. Yeah, but I appreciate the help.
Okay, see ya. Bye-bye.